Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Mylowe's Rewards members get a free paint or exterior stain sample to test your look and find the perfect color to confidently refresh your space. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid in-store only, 5/8 through 5/14. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Well, if you do not know what Foxfire means, but yet you clicked on this podcast, you're in good company and you are in for a treat today. We are here to tell stories from Appalachia that were all originated and inspired by an English teacher with a vision. So with that, I'll meet you at the table.
I'm Lainey.
And I'm Laura Beth.
And we are
Steel Magnolias.
The strength of steel with the grace of a magnolia.
We are here to have uplifting conversations about life in the South.
And we've got plenty of room at our table. So pull up a chair.
Okay, so I'm just going to jump in with a little story before we get into our topic, because I still have the giggles from just leaving the beauty shop. Do people still call it the beauty shop?
No.
The salon?
That's why I'm already laughing, because you just said that.
Okay,
white and silver haired, blue haired people say beauty shop.
Women that are getting their hair set are
exactly.
At the beauty shop. Okay. Yeah. So I kind of want to
salon.
I want to revisit beauty shops in the future. I know we did an episode on it, but I still think there's more. I don't know if we need to go live,
man.
And like.
We need to go into small town beauty shops and just hang out.
But wouldn't that be great if we were like, live at Curl Up and Die in Mobile, Alabama,
yes!
Or, you know, whatever. Okay. So you can't help but listen to people around you when you're sitting in the chair.
Absolutely.
And so my girl and myself, we weren't in the middle of a conversation. And so it was just kind of quiet. And so the lady comes in. She's probably in her 60s.
Okay.
Looked really nice already. I mean, she's walking
in. Put together.
She was walking in for her appointment. She already looked nice, I thought. So she sits down and the girl's, just kind of talking to her about, okay,
what are we doing today?
She cuts her off. It's like so rude. What's the Wi-Fi password?
Oh.
And the girl's like, I don't know. I just started here 2 weeks ago, so I'm not sure. Oh, where were you 2 weeks ago? I was in school. You were in school 2 weeks ago? I mean, like, I watched this woman, like, melt down that, like, here she is. I don't know how she got booked with this girl, but she was...
2 weeks ago, you were in school, so I'm in your first 2 weeks of cutting hair.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
But it was, so they had a rough start. But it was actually sweet, because towards the end, I heard her complimenting how she was styling her hair and telling her what a good job she was doing.
Well.
Teasing. She said, you're a good teaser. She was teasing it up so much, it looked like Cindy Lou Who in, like, the more recent Grinch story. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Because it has to be like that before you...
Yes.
Drop it down.
And she said, you're a good teaser. And I looked up and I'm sure my eyes got wide because, I mean, it was so big. And she said, yeah, it's, it can always get calmed down. But when I walk out of here, that's all I've got or something like that.
How funny.
Anyway, it just kind of cracked me up.
There is something fun about when you can hear the other buzz conversations that are happening.
Yes.
So the place that I go... there's only two of them in the room.
Okay.
And so sometimes that other person isn't cutting hair at the same time.
Oh, okay.
So it's literally just the two of us.
Got it.
I miss that buzz when that happens.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean, you can always just, I guess, get on your phone. But you are kind of just like, so.
No,
hi.
I don't even have my phone
out.
Like, I'm just,
here we are trying to make conversation.
I'm like, wash my hair longer. It feels so good.
I know, right?
Right.
Anyway. Well, I just had that fresh on my mind, so I wanted
the beauty shop
to tell you.
I love it.
They pressed through and made it. So I think that girl's off to a great start, actually.
Good.
Well, we have an interesting topic today.
I think so.
Like, what in the world is foxfire? I'm sure you're asking. That's what I was asking when Lainey proposed this topic when we sat down and put our calendar together earlier this year. And I didn't know what it was. And you just sort of stumbled upon it.
So I saw a book. I came across a book title that was Foxfire Book of Appalachian Cookery. And I'm like, what is that? That sounds fascinating.
Yeah. So that's what you were like, what's that?
So then in looking what that was, I came across this unbelievable series of books that a lot of people know about.
A lot of people know about. In fact, if you're listening, and maybe you even saw Lainey kind of teased a little bit on some socials ahead of time of this episode, people were reminiscing already.
Oh my gosh, I have my grandfather's Foxfire books. Or
yeah, so some of you guys already know way more than we do. And that's, I'm sure, the case on each week's topic. But in essence, let me try and describe it as best I can, because foxfire is a bit hard to describe in what we're talking about
today.
Are you
describing the word, what that word means, or just what they do?
What they do.
Their mission.
Okay, so they're a nonprofit. They are dedicated to the preservation and documentation of Southern Appalachian culture, and they've been doing this for over 50 years now. Foxfire started in a high school classroom in 1966, when an English teacher decided that they were going to have students go out and talk to neighbors and elders to find out what their lives were like when they were growing up in this area of Northeast Georgia. So the project really did a great job at bridging the gap of generations.
Love that.
And the stories were then published in a magazine in 1967. Well, the magazine took off in popularity.
Yeah.
And it was interesting when I thought about sort of their mission of, you know, preservation and documentation of culture, I noticed that they're also very much proponents of not just looking back, but really trying to tie it into what this means to today.
Yeah.
So it's more than just like a museum of knowledge, if you will, or a history book.
Yeah.
It's like a true cultural dive into really, like, what does this mean for today? So I kind of thought that it was similar to our mission, honestly.
I thought that 100%, Laura Beth. There was actually some words that they had on somewhere on their website that I thought, this sounds like us. It said, Foxfire, building community, bridging generations, constructed from blood, sweat, and tears, swapping stories, changing how we teach, strengthening family, and more affairs of living with purpose.
Love it.
And I'm like, that's a lot of what we want to do. Or that's our goal, whether or not we're doing it.
And the people that are involved live in this region. So it's not that it's an outsider's perspective or view of what's happening here in this Appalachian region. It's the people themselves learning about their own history and culture. And so I thought, well, that's kind of how we try and remain curious about our own region. We do not know it all. We do not pretend to know it all. But we're curious enough, and we have enough love for the area to dive in and to just kind of share. If we do have some story that pertains, then we're happy to share that. But we're lifelong learners as well. And so I just thought it was cool because, you know, here these young people are, you know, growing up in an area that maybe they didn't think it was cool, but now they're learning it's cool.
It's so true. And, you know, another thing I was thinking that's really great about how this all started and even how it has continued.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, we didn't say the school was Rabin Gap Nacoochee School.
Yeah.
So it is in Northeast Georgia, in the Appalachian Mountains, but they later went on to interview people in Tennessee, Kentucky, North Carolina, that kind of thing. But it started with people interviewing grandpa, interviewing grandpa's friend. So what I was thinking about this is they start out already having an in. It's not like this is some north, you know, northerner coming in, nosing around.
Right.
You know, this right. is George's granddaughter.
Yes, exactly.
So they're going to be willing to.
And there's a warmness. Open walls up aren't and up share. Of what's your agenda? What's exactly. This, how are you going to skew this story? Yeah. That's a so very good point. So I think
that that's how it got rolling.
Yeah.
And then at this point, I think they have enough history in the area that you're probably going to have heard of Foxfire.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I also came across the phrase cultural journalist.
Okay.
In looking at this.
Love that.
I was like, I think that's what we that's are.
That's what we are.
So I'm going to update my LinkedIn. I'm a cultural journalist.
Cultural journalist. Well, this teacher was also an oral historian, so okay. he knew the importance of getting these stories.
Yeah.
But yeah, they, at this point, have over 2,000 interviews.
That's in crazy.
Their archive.
Yeah.
And they, yeah, like you already said, it was a magazine, then it was books. Now they even have their own podcast.
Yep, they do. Yeah.
Which is called It Still Lives, mm-hmm. and I love the title.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to bits and pieces of a few different ones.
Okay.
I will say, get ready to turn your volume up and kind of lean in. It's not something I could do other things.
Because
no. some of the accents and things like that, like it was kind of hard to understand.
Right.
So I was having to really pay attention.
And when you think about, this is from the 60s. Okay, major grace given. Like,
right.
It's not today's podcast. So just remember, like, the fact that we even have the audio from these is pretty amazing.
And the photography that they have.
Yeah.
And yeah, you just have to have grace for it's not the clearest sound. And
so why did they call it Foxfire, right? So the students came up with this. They called it Foxfire after the glow-in-the-dark fungus found in the local hills. This spark of an idea turned into a phenomenon of education and living history, exploring how our past contributes to who we are and what we become. How the past illuminates our present and inspires imagination.
That's a great way to say it.
That's a real interesting.
I had more scientific definition yeah. that was kind of confusing.
It is. I saw a lot of that too. Like if you actually Wikipedia the scientific term for foxfire, unless you...
It's a bioluminescence created by some species of fungi present in decaying wood. It's also like a swamp gas and anyway. Yeah.
It does sound real weird
yeah.
to see with your eyes this nature wonder, but yeah, it's just this sort of interesting biognome, I guess is a good way to put it. But you know, the magazine, I wanted to make sure, I was going to mention this at the end, but I do want to just go ahead and make sure it's still going.
Isn't
you can
awesome?
Still get a subscription to Foxfire magazine for $12.95 for 1 year. They do issues in May and December.
Okay.
Because that lines up with school year, because it's still students that are highly involved. So before I got too deep, I wanted to make sure people know that these aren't just old volumes that we're talking about. They're still continuing to come out with content.
And then I guess the books will continue as well.
I guess
they've
so.
Done...
Yeah, so the first books were first published in 1972. They have had multiple volumes, as you mentioned, since then. And again, some of you listening may go, yeah, we had Foxfire books 1 through 5 on our in yeah. our house. I mean, people that seem to know this know the volumes
yeah.
or know at least what their collection was at home. So then I thought it was interesting that, and I'm going to jump into some of the story specifically in just a second, but I thought it was interesting that they didn't even just stop there. They've got the magazines, they've got the books. They're like, let's do a whole cultural and heritage center.
I know.
Like these Road people trip. Are proud. They are touting their town.
Absolutely.
So they have exhibits. They have cabins depicting like Appalachian
what life. Was
life
like. Yeah.
That, you know, they have demonstrations of skills and crafts. So this is history.
Weavers and blacksmith and, you know, that show you how things are done.
Yes. This would be, again, not just Northeast Georgia history, although the cultural center is in Mountain City, Georgia, We'll link to it in our show notes if you have interest in actually going to visit. But this would be Kentucky, Tennessee, West Virginia, Georgia, all of those areas.
North Carolina.
Are, yeah. encompassed in the history. So you checked out a bunch of books for us.
I did.
Thank you for doing that, because I wanted to get my hands on the actual stories and not just, you know, read online what it's
now,
about.
Now, did you find, I found them, I'm just going to use the word challenging, not because there's a lot in each one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like you just sit down and breeze through. I mean, it has how-tos and...
Yes. Yeah, it would almost be like a...
sitting down with an encyclopedia or something. Like, it's got lots of different subjects.
That's exactly right.
I don't know how to
explain it. It's not a novel read. It's not even short stories.
No.
Although there are some short stories within some of them. Yeah, it's like an encyclopedia. That's a good way to put it.
And sometimes the stories are written as the person's dialect.
Yes.
Is saying it. And so even that can be a little challenging
slower
for me
to
read.
Yeah. Yeah. Like apostrophes in the middle of a word because that's how they pronounced it.
Yeah.
They shortened it or made a contraction out of it or something. Yeah. So I thought the stories that were in the books, though, were very simple.
Yes.
And so imagine this. Imagine, like we said, a lot of these were younger, even high school students interviewing, you know, a grandparent or a friend's grandparent. So imagine the response that you would get if you asked, like, your eldest living relative a question like, what chores did you do as a child? Or what was church or school like when you were growing up? Or who do you remember being a good cook? What did he or she make that you loved? Like, these are really simple questions.
Yeah.
And that is sort of some of the things that they go into in this. But again, these are just supposed to be conversations that they're drawing then cultural history
from
trying to learn from. But, you know, I had to be honest with myself. I was like, so one, props to all the students that have sat down and done this in these 2000 conversation archives, because, you know, they had some eye rolling moments that they were like, I don't want to do this.
Oh, for sure.
I'm not interested in this.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking,
I'd rather be at the skate center.
Anywhere.
Or wherever.
Anywhere, but
maybe
this
they don't have a skate center.
Hot little apartment or this, you know. So I was thinking about our great aunt and uncle, Betty and Howard were their names, and they lived, of our oldest living relatives, they lived the longest into my adult years.
Yeah.
So although I didn't have grandparents that I was close to, because I would say I really only knew one-ish of our four grandparents.
Yeah.
Just because of the length of their life and then just life. Those are different. That's a different podcast.
Yeah.
But so this was kind of our grandparent figures to me, our great aunt and uncle. And I didn't want to go to their house and sit
in there.
Wasn't
exciting.
You know, they had a very, very small home. I mean, what was it? Like maybe 800 square feet?
Four rooms and a bathroom.
Yeah. It was...
Five rooms and a bathroom.
You know...
Really small.
Like, it was so small that I remember in their display case that was in their living room, like all the porcelain figurines would shake.
Would rattle when you walked.
Anytime anyone was walking, which was pretty much anywhere. Because like you're almost to the bathroom by the time you stand up. You know what I mean? So anyway, I'm just picturing this being the scenario. And I just really appreciated people that went and sat and talked to people.
To all these people.
To get their
the
stories.
Or-
Yeah. Because I know I didn't have a grateful heart as a young person to sit and do that. Now, I know this was their assignment. Many of them needed a grade, probably.
Yeah.
But still.
No, that's a good point.
And, you know, I was even thinking, too, gosh, were there any assignments that I was given as a high school student that could have had legs to be something?
I know. That's why I was saying kudos to this teacher that got this rolling, because I don't know that he knew it would become what it became.
Right.
But he knew it was bigger than just an English assignment.
Right. It wasn't just a research paper to him, for sure. So I don't know. I kind of put that out there for you guys to think about. Just if if you even have the recollection of a lot of specific school projects in high school or even college years. Anyway.
And kudos to teachers that come up with these creative things. Gosh, it's so good. Well, you know, one thing we didn't mention that I thought was really cool was in the early 80s, there was some interviews that had been done by Foxfire that really stood out. This character really stood out, named Aunt Airy Carpenter.
I saw her name a lot in stuff I read, yes.
She lived from 1885 to 1978.
Wow.
Amazing. Anyway, the interviews of her became the subject of a Broadway play.
Oh, cool.
That starred Jessica Tandy.
What?
Playing this Aunt Airy. And I just thought that was so amazing. She was a resident of Macon County, North Carolina, in the southern Appalachian Mountains. And she, you know, it was the interviews that these high school students did of her and reproducing her skills of living in the Foxfire books that later became this character, Annie Nations, in the Foxfire play. The play was just called Foxfire.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
It was performed on Broadway. And it also became a TV movie in 1987. So
that's cool.
There you go. Anyway.
That's very cool.
Isn't that neat?
Yes.
Just all that became of this.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely impacted, I think, a lot of entertainment. I saw a lot of impact that was given to the Heartland series on television that ran for several years that was impacted by this.
But, oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've never watched that, but I've had people tell me they thought I would like it.
Mm-hmm. So, can I mention a few of the like specific stories, or have anything else you want to go into first? So, okay. One of the ones that I read was an actual Foxfire 40th anniversary book.
Okay.
So this is, you know, a little different
than the volumes.
Yeah. And they have lots of like supplementary, I guess is what you would call them, books that are outside of the volumes.
Yes, they have in addition to the regular volumes, they have the 40th, the 45th anniversary, the Book of Appalachian Cookery that I mentioned kind of sparked all of this, Foxfire Christmas, Foxfire Toys and Games.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yeah. So those are the only other ones I jotted down.
Well, okay, so this Foxfire 40th anniversary book, it's a little different than some of the volumes. It has a large section on faith, on family, and the land. And in the family section, boy, did I get a kick out of the beauty secrets. So I have to share some.
Oh my gosh, please.
I have to share some.
Please.
And I will share the editor's note at the very top in all bold that they do not, Foxfire does not vouch for the effectiveness or worth of the following beauty secrets. In fact, they may have adverse effects.
Oh my gosh.
Due to allergies or sensitive skin. They're like, we're not claiming any of these. This is just what.
Hilarious.
Mama or auntie told us worked for her. Okay, so I'll just pull out a few. In the hair section, wash your hair in ice cold beer, then rinse it for clean, shiny hair.
I've always heard at the end of your shower, turn the water on ice cold.
Yes.
And that will make your hair shiny.
Oh, my roommate Christy always had me do that in college. I was like, I don't want to do that. She was like adamant that it worked. And it made my hair, when I was wearing my hair curly, it made my hair curl so much better.
Really?
So it was not frizzy.
Okay.
Okay. So yeah, definitely if you're.
But cold beer?
Ice cold beer.
Ice cold beer. Okay.
All right. In the warts section.
No. I'm already laughing.
And I will say, in general, outside of even this beauty section, I felt like warts came up a lot in this book.
Okay.
It was in the faith section, even about like conjuring warts, and warts were clearly an issue. So I'll read a couple of these because this was hilarious, and I feel like our mom has said the second one here. Okay, to remove warts, take a small Irish potato, rub it all over the wart you've got. Don't let nobody know about your business. Mm-mm. Go out on the house and bury that potato where the water runs off on the eave of the house. When the potato rots, your warts will be gone.
The potato does not have to be peeled, and even if it sprouts, the potato itself will rot. Then the warts will be gone.
Now, that sounds kind of crazy.
It kind of sounds crazy.
And I think these people had a lot of smarts.
No, they did. So I hope this doesn't paint a picture that these people were all silly. But I just thought these were really funny. And you just never know
where that came from. Where it came from.
We did a Southern Remedies.
And it's an Irish potato. So it couldn't be an Idaho. Right. Don't even try it with an Idaho potato. Yeah. Okay.
We did that Southern Remedies.
Yes.
Episode, gosh, was that season one?
I think so.
And some stuff came up that was just really like out there in that one. So I think that was kind of what I was reminiscent of. Another wart remedy would be to rub the wart with a penny and give it to someone. Then they get the wart.
No. Is that what it says? Yes. No, it doesn't. Oh my gosh. Serious.
Okay. Let me just jump to a couple more and then we'll jump to another topic. For face. Now, I deal with acne, so this actually, I really was, like, my interest was perked.
I remember we used to make an egg mask.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you'd paint it on your face and let it dry. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it really did anything, but it felt good because it would make my skin real
tight. I bet. Yeah, I could see that. Okay, to cure acne, now this is just a little more straightforward and stuff that you may have even heard before. Dab rubbing alcohol on the infected area to dry out pimples. Also use compresses made from warm infusions of elderberry.
Okay.
Elderberry is hugely popular right now, I feel like. I don't know what this is. Lady's mantle? It has in parentheses.
Like an herb or a...
The herb that it comes from. And thyme leaves.
Okay.
You can make an ointment out of the thyme leaves. You can also use the juice from the leaves and stem of watercress applied directly to the pimple. Also says for clear complexion, make a steam bath of peppermint leaves.
Okay.
That sounds like that would be good for so many things. I figured it would be
something
things.
About witch hazel. Because anyway, they use lots of things from plants and
But I
herbs
thought the other thing was that was funny is there's so much on here about getting rid of your freckles.
Oh.
Which... I mean, we don't really...
I kind of like mine.
I do, too.
I don't want mine to go away.
But I bet they worked outside so much that they were probably just covered in sun. Sunburns, sunspots, freckles.
So funny.
So for freckles, put sap from a grapevine on them.
Okay.
Okay, the last one I'll mention is for odor. This is odor on your hands from handling fish or onions.
Oh my. Okay.
So you may not handle a lot of fish, but I guarantee you, you're handling onions. Wash them in apple cider vinegar.
Okay.
And I'm like, but then you just smell like apple cider vinegar. Anyway, those are just silly.
That's hilarious. I had jotted down, okay, of the 12 main volumes, what some of the subject matter were.
Oh, good.
Of each one. So, like I said, when you grab a hold of one of these books, it's not like you just read straight through. It's pretty big. It's covered lots of territory. But like the volume one included a diverse array of craft and practical skills, including log cabin building.
Okay.
Hog dressing.
What?
Basket making. Fence making, crop planting, hunting, moonshining, as well as a look at the history of local traditions like snake lore and faith healing.
Yes, there was a lot of faith healing chapters in mine. Because these were people of strong faith.
Like, strong
faith.
It was
a very, very prominent part of their life.
And not a ton of money for doctors and stuff.
True.
So then there again, your faith.
Yeah.
Played a big role.
Yes.
That was kind of
you know,
all you had too. Volume two included ghost stories, wagon making, midwifing, corn shucking, spinning and weaving. Volume three, animal care, banjos and dulcimers, wild plant foods, butter churns, etc. Is this fun for me to keep going? It's just things like that. I wanted to get my hands on volume 7.
Why? What's it in that?
mountain religious heritage, including revivals, baptisms, gospel singing, faith healing, camp meeting, snake handling, and more.
Okay, there's a, if you are, if that's like a, that if that's a primary interest for anybody listening, there's a ton of that in the Foxfire 40th anniversary book.
There is. Okay.
There's a huge section, because it's actually called Faith, Family, and the Land. That's like the subtitle of the 40th anniversary. So, I read lots on there.
I just think that would be an interesting one.
Yes. So good.
I could go on and on. But it's just, this gives you an example of the kinds of things that you might find in one of, in just even one volume.
You know what would be awesome, just for today's generation, is if they actually had YouTube videos yes. of this. Especially the how-to things. Because, I mean, who's not looking to YouTube on how to do something when That's you don't true. Know how to do something at home? Especially like cooking or home related things.
Well, maybe we even get that message to Foxfire. Cause they
Here's our feedback.
Y'all here's need our feedback. You need a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And it's going to blow up.
It's true.
Really?
Well, I thought it was interesting when I read about how the Southern Appalachian people viewed home.
Okay.
Because like to many people in this area, even, or especially in this country, home would be a house or the home that you were raised in.
Uh-huh.
Like the structure that you were raised in, whether that be an apartment or a townhome or whatever. But for Southern Appalachians, home was the land and the mountains. That was home. Like if you said, if they okay. were asked about home, they're talking about the land.
That's interesting because I think that that is also something you might hear in the Scotch-Irish too.
Yes.
You know how you'll hear them, especially, you know, if they're from the Highlands or something, they yeah. consider the land
yeah.
their home too.
That's good. Yeah. And that makes sense
yeah.
for the area that we're talking about. So as generations of family members worked these farms, land ceased to be simply like a place to live and work, and it became their heritage, and they got real smart about, or not even smart, they got real vested
yeah.
in wanting to preserve it and pass it down to the next generation. So I just thought it was interesting because you and I were talking about land the other day,
yep.
people selling off land.
Yep, we sure were.
Land and families.
That's been there for generations.
Yeah.
And then the young ones are like, I'd rather have the money.
So there was this quote by Furman Arvey, one of the interviewees in this Foxfire series. And he said, once the money's gone, it's all gone. And what is there? This is kind of where it's hard to read because the English is a little off. Once the money's gone, it's all gone. And what is there left? Money just isn't worth anything. But if you've got the land, you can make it.
Wow.
So I just thought that was really interesting juxtaposition. There's so much in this, whether you're talking about, you know, raising kids or faith or this view of land that is very different than how we proceed today. And that doesn't necessarily mean all of what they used to do is right and now
right.
we've got it all wrong. But it feels like it's continuing to get more and more opposite.
Yeah, and it's their worldview too.
Yeah.
I mean, it shapes kind of everything. I think
yeah.
about even in Gone with the Wind, that part played, that ownership of the land was a big part of the story.
Yeah.
It kind of starts there.
Yeah.
With that conversation with her dad. But, excuse me. It also makes you understand better in our episode we did on the TVA.
Yes.
You know, the woman that would not
yes.
give up her land.
Yes.
It's like, you're going to flood it out and I'll die here.
Yes.
Because this is my land.
Yes.
It makes you have a better understanding of why they would be like that.
Yes, exactly. So anyway, I just thought that was worth
mentioning. That is so interesting.
Too. All of the content I read, though, was very interesting, but like we said at the beginning, it's almost like you'll find it more interesting if you just go to certain topics that are relevant or what you're interested in at that moment, rather than trying to read all the way through.
Yeah, because there was things in there, I mean, I'll never do.
Right, or, yeah.
I mean, never even have the equipment to do.
Right.
So I'm skipping that section.
Right.
But yeah, if you want to know, I love your idea of a YouTube channel, though.
Yeah, and maybe they do. I didn't
I would love the smarts of some of these people when I'm doing something in my garden, or if I'm doing, you know, needing some kind of a home remedy.
Yeah.
I want to know.
Yeah.
What they say.
Yeah. So good. Especially when you don't have grandparents around to ask.
I know.
You know? So there's so many of us that we just didn't get enough time with an older generation in our family. Yeah. So
to learn that stuff.
We're leaning on others.
And maybe that's why I just love things like this. I love what they're doing.
Yeah.
At Foxfire. Kudos to them.
Yeah. So you can connect with them at foxfire.org. We will put links to these books in the show notes. As I mentioned earlier, the magazine subscription is still available. You can go
visit their museum and cultural center there.
They've got an active Instagram page, foxfire.org, that we'll link to. And they've even got a hashtag to follow, hashtag hike through history. That would get you plugged into very active posts of what they're doing and what others are doing that are aware of this community. So
fun.
Good topic, sis.
I'm ready to hike through history.
Let's do it. All right.
Peace be with you.
And also with y'all.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.